Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And you're listening to VFN Radio. Good morning, VFN Radio audience. I am your host, Greg Lancaster, and you're listening to VFN Radio. And I just got untied from a knot of wires, but I'm alive. I'm alive. And we're here to encourage you this morning. And joining me to encourage you this morning is the one, the only, yes, the man that has more hair on his face than his head by choice. I'm sure there's hair up there somewhere. John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Also joining us is the producer of the VFN Radio program, the one whose fault it was that I was tied in wires. The one, the only, the man, the Mako, the Ed McMahon, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I'm so excited we have a chance to be able to introduce to you this morning that's with us on the VFN Radio program. Chris!
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Doing great. It's awesome to be here.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I was just thinking this morning, Eddie, Insanity, where are you in this thing, man? Where are you? Give a shout out to Peter. I mean, I was just showing Jared, my son, your I Abide Church. You know, that's the number one search on the torch. We'll give a shout out this morning to Steve and Lucretia Hosh in Birmingham. Give a shout out also this morning to LaDonna and Brian Spivey on the Emerald Coast. Give a shout out this morning to Isaiah, the chef. Good morning to all the teachers out there. I pray the Lord's blessings, grace, and protection upon you this morning.
Amen.
You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me today on VFN Radio to encourage you is John Ramos.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning. Sanguines unite. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank
good morning.
You. Thank you. Oh, my goodness.
See, look, wow. I had to tell you, I had a great customer service experience the other night.
Okay.
Now, hi. You know, I just don't know what happens sometimes, you know, but this guy was so good over the phone. You know what I mean? My experience normally when I'm trying to call customer service has not always been the best, but I got right. This guy that was just so polite, so professional. He helped me with everything that I said, man, you are amazing. I said, now, can I call you back if I ever have a problem?
Yeah, extension, I don't think so, sir.
And he says, no, yeah, you'll right. never reach me again. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
That's like, you know, you've entertained angels unaware as those odd... odd moments that you reach texts that are like,
oh,
you know,
my goodness. I'm like, dude, I love you. Can you be the customer service for every person I'm going to call and every company? You're great.
Well, you know, I found out if I don't talk to tech help that I bear much fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you see, you know, Pat limping or anything, it's because he talks to all the tech people. It's not working, Pat. Nah. It's not working. I'll see you in a little while. Let me know how it works. You know, I've said this before, but, you know, it's sad to say, you know, it's true that I mean, it's been a while since I had to speak. No, actually, I think I called one last year. No, I mean, it's got to be a difficult job because there's this, I saw this picture on our Facebook that somebody posted up and it has this little baby with his cell phone and it has a little caption over his head and he goes, no, grandmother, He said, open your Windows Explorer.
I think I saw that.
Yeah, how little kids are trying to, you know, it can be really frustrating. You know, you talk to somebody. I can imagine tech services, you're talking and then you go, well, have you tried this? Have you tried that? Yeah, I've done that. And they don't even know what they're thinking. They know what you're saying. And then finally you say, you just take a shot in the dark. Have you plugged in your computer to the wall?
Yeah, exactly.
And they go, oh, I mean, that takes 2 weeks of leave just to get over that in therapy, you know, in Mexican beaches down there. I mean, after a while, it just probably really gets to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it does.
And
you have compassion for the tech guy now. It's like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, I have a lot of compassion for the tech guy. I have a lot of compassion for the tech guy. And we just want to pray for all of our tech people out there. Don't leave us.
Yeah, please.
Pat will talk to you.
Yeah. Oh, you just need to expand your bandwidth. I am trying to lose weight already, sir. I don't need to expand my bandwidth. But I'm so glad because today, you know, that Chris is going to be joining us today, that we're going to be able to talk about something we've been mentioning for a little while now. And it's his testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I was on a particular place where he grew up, and I was talking to his innocent mother.
Bless her.
Yeah, and she's sweet. Yeah, she really is.
Yeah,
she's awesome.
I understand her pain. The sons of thunder. And then, so, you know, she's showing me these pictures and all this different stuff, and then there was a move taking place at some point, and there was a Bible found.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the early years, which is totally amazing that, you know, there was a Bible anywhere around there.
In the vicinity.
That's right. And it was Chris's. Well, I don't know. He could have stole the Bible. I don't know if it was really his or not, you know.
Have an actual word on that, do we?
Yeah. And this is important to share because a lot of people think that dude, if it was the Quran, it'd be over. But that you've done things that you feel bad about.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But then I think about what Chris did, and I'm thinking, you know.
I wasn't so bad after all.
If you put that on a grade that on a curve, And I was looking at this Bible, and I noticed in this Bible, you know, that it was missing pages in it. Those pages weren't ripped out. Mm-hmm. They were cut out systematically,
like someone intentionally meant to do it.
Intentionally. I'm serious. Oh, wow. I'm like, you know me, you know, I was like, you know, if I'm putting something on top of my Bible, I'm conscious of what I'm doing. I'm very careful about what I even do, I want to honor God's word. And,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, he didn't know God. So if he would have known God, I'm sure he wouldn't have smoked God. I said, let me get what happened. Right. And so from what I understand, you know, that you were challenged in the area of needing to.
I needed some rolling papers.
This is horrific. Is this horrific?
Oh, my goodness.
This is terrible.
It's awful.
Oh, my goodness, you know. Did you hear that?
You have needs.
Yeah, I know. I'm telling. We're telling you to encourage you this morning. So he didn't know Jesus.
Not at all.
Matter of fact, he didn't even know his neighbors at that point, right?
That's right.
It's right. Oh my goodness, they're looking at me when I'm going out in this gurney thing.
That's right.
You're right.
It's so, amazing. Yeah.
And so then So he was running out of rolling papers. And for those that don't roll rolling papers, you know, it used to be a day that people would smoke cigarettes and they would roll their cigarettes. They would actually roll it.
Mm-hmm.
Like my grandfather would roll it. He would just roll his cigarette, you know, mm-hmm. from a flat piece of paper. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never seen him use a Bible to do it. And he quit later in life. And so I saw this Bible, so I asked, you know, we're asking Chris, you know, what is this? And he's like, he used this Bible. I mean, he didn't know Jesus. You got to understand, he didn't know Jesus. I would be concerned if you know, he said he knew Jesus, but he didn't even know him. He didn't, I mean, until you know Jesus, the Bible is like Greek. Well, it is Greek, but the Bible is like Hebrew. Well, it is Hebrew. Well, the Bible is like, doesn't make sense to you.
Yeah, it's like a paperweight.
It's like a paperweight.
If you don't know him.
Oh, if you don't know him,
if
yeah.
If you don't know him.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a decoration so under your coffee
BC,
table.
Right?
This, yeah, this BC is all BC Christ? Right yeah. now because because the one that called it his paperweight, he wore his first Bible out. Yeah, he did. He put tabs in it. It just fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever, did you ever rebound that Bible?
I tried, but they closed down.
Oh, they did?
Wow. Yeah.
There's got to be some binding organization.
I got to find somebody.
In the world. As much bondage as there is, got to be some binding organization somewhere. So then, you got to get this because it's not made up. I got something I'm going to tell you about. Matter of fact, we might even put this up on the torch today. I don't know. But, and so he needed rolling papers. You know, and I used to put people in jail for the if they had marijuana and rolling papers,
mm-hmm.
then that would be considered drug paraphernalia.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he smoked marijuana. So that was but so you used your Bible,
right?
You used your Bible, and he cut the pages out of the Bible to roll up the marijuana.
Right, it wasn't tobacco.
To light it on fire.
Jeez, Pat.
To smoke. So he smoked Leviticus.
Oh my goodness.
You know, no. But he used it as a rolling paper. And so, you know, I thought, oh my goodness, you know. But then I looked and I noticed that he used the index pages in the back of the Bible.
The blank ones.
The note pages that very
the
few
pages
that very few Christians I noticed even think, you know,
right. Those note pages. Even though they exist.
According to George Bonner, very few were doing that right now. And so they call that being holy. You know, they don't write in your Bibles like no. You got to actually open it to be concerned about it. Anyway, so, and so then I thought, man, well, at least, you know, he just smoked the note pages in the back, you know, because he had all these cut pages. It looked like some sort of old paper doll stuff that was cut out years ago.
Oh,
they used to cut
goodness.
Dolls out and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I find out the only reason he didn't smoke Leviticus, he was concerned the ink would have actually poisoned him.
That's it.
Oh, God.
Oh, is that crazy?
That's nuts.
Is that crazy?
It is true.
And now, you know, God has taken this man who didn't know him.
That's right.
Who was smoking the Bible, saved his soul,
mm-hmm.
healed him from a stroke. I mean, he had like half his, he was literally paralyzed on half his body.
Yeah.
God totally healed him. And now he is responsible for the media productions and all the VFN TV broadcasts that go around the world and mm-hmm. the all this editing and everything that's happening, the media suites and all that kind of stuff's going on. And here he is. He went from smoking his Bible to being a smoke offering. And now his flesh burns.
Daily.
And that's he's right. pleased with it. And, yeah. and he actually reads his Bible and he said he smokes it.
Oh.
Yes, I do. I read it. Man.
Now, is this not true?
This is absolutely true.
I don't want to. I'm not. This is it. This is the real deal.
This is the real deal. Yeah, there was a time in my life. Actually, at that point in time in my life, I didn't even believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. and so I didn't even think twice about cutting pages out of this book. The pages were very thin, so
it was like rolling paper.
Yeah, it was like rolling paper. You know, most Bibles today are.
I never would have thought that, but.
Me either.
Yeah.
But it was there, it was available, and
so you can afford the marijuana, but you couldn't afford the rolling papers.
Right. Yeah, I took all the money I had to buy the marijuana. So.
and it was there. You were just like, you know,
why not?
You know,
I didn't even dawn on me.
Because you didn't know God.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, yeah. I mean, I'd been told about God, but you know, during that time of my life, like I said, it was he was the farthest thing, you know, from my mind.
Sure.
You know, mm-hmm. that he was even real, especially to the things that I had gone through in my life.
Yeah.
So that was something that was just, you know, there was no conviction whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. You just didn't know him. So, right. So to encourage myself, you know, he dedicated that Bible to the museum. And so I have it sitting on a shelf in my office on top of that brick that LaDonna Spivey blessed me with that year we were having that event for the Father and Sons and all, or that was the Next Step Outback. And I have it sitting on top of there, just kind of opened up. And so when things get rough and everything's crashing in, everything's falling apart, you know, typical shipwrecks like Paul, you kind of look down at your feet, and then I gradually go up my bookcase and I'm looking at stuff and things, and I work my way right to the brick. This is a very nice thing. But then I look at his Bible and I think, I'm not that bad. we'll be right back in a moment. You know, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, began, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get, men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with Next Step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dead. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today. And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people. All across the nation, we've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first? Like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, You can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Steve, all the time people tell me they want so much more. Mm-hmm. You know, the VFN radio program. They love the 24-hour loop, but did you know that what's available to them now on VFNTV.com is the opportunity to be a subscriber?
Awesome.
When they subscribe, they get access to so much more. You have more content, more information, and more things that will encourage you, will bring enlightenment and education. Be a subscriber. It's absolutely free. It doesn't cost you a thing. You can go to VFNTV.com and subscribe now.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me today is Pat Hamilton, John Ramos, and Chris. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Here we are. We are at the beginning of today's VFN radio program, and we had a chance to be able to share just a few moments ago about Chris smoking his Bible. But I do want, you know, Chris to take a moment, about, you know, I mean, he doesn't smoke his Bible anymore. Now he you know, lives his life for God. He's found God. I mean, how is your life different, you know, since then? I mean, who is God to you?
Well, I mean, my life is like a total 180. You know, like I said, you know, I stopped smoking my Bible.
Thank goodness.
Well, that's good.
That's actually fruit. Wouldn't we say that's a good sign, right?
That's a good sign.
I only smoke half my Bible now. I used to smoke all of my Bible, but, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, God has just totally changed my life now, and you know, he's got me in a place now to where, you know, I'm serving him, and you know, it's just a you know, it's just such an honor to be here and just being able to fulfill what God has called me to do. You know, I mean, you know, like I said earlier, there was a day that, you know, I didn't think I could do anything for God.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think I had any talents whatsoever, you know, and I was recently able to share this, you know, that I was where I didn't at one point in time, I didn't think I had any talents. And in fact, I remember I had talked to Pat about it, and it was just, you know, because I was willing to do something, God just began to open these doors for me in my life and just started pouring things into me.
Now he's lost for words. It's not because he smoked his Bible. Yeah. This might be coming over like, oh,
right. You know,
no, he's just so lost. You know, the thing is that he really, you know, looked at everybody and he said, you know, Pat just walks on water and he has so many talents. You know, even he's never smoked his Bible. I mean, there's so many things that he's done, you know, well, and
great football, you know, player, perfect hair.
He was a pine warmer.
Okay, I was trying to help him out.
Oh, no, he wasn't a pine warmer. Anyway, you know, really, you looked, Chris, you looked around and you said, and then quite often people do. I remember walking into a gathering as a new believer, and I was intimidated by everybody that was there.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
With the past environments that I believe that it shouldn't be that way. And that's mm-hmm. why we kind of walk in the expression we do mm-hmm. that if you're family, you should feel like family day one. And, you know, it's the obligation of the ones who just saw somebody born to cause that babe in the Lord to feel welcome. It shouldn't be the babe in the imagine a natural baby,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like, okay, you know, own up to your side of it. It's like, just change mm-hmm. me and feed me right now, you know, make me right. feel good, you know, goo goo and gaga me type stuff.
Right.
And, you know, people get born in, again in the Lord and people don't even understand. They are brand spanking new.
Yeah.
In God. You know, and with that, you're looking around and you don't understand that God saves broken people mm-hmm. and they just don't realize all the issues that we do have
right.
and that, you know, we're not saved because we're perfect. We're saved. A Christian, the very fact that we're a Christian says that we needed a savior.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We needed a forgiveness. But, you know, that's not what you know because you're like, you're really fresh out your stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. he's still got, I would say rolling papers, but he still has the Bible in his back pocket.
Right,
right,
and it's not because he's gonna read it,
right,
and that's how we shouldn't feel when we come into the presence of the Lord. But you know, when you walk into this big, huge place that nobody knows everybody, and people don't know whether you're Al Qaeda or you're a disciple or you're a deacon. I mean, they don't know. They really don't know.
Right.
And we have a video on the torch watching people that are sitting in this believers, Christians. Mm-hmm. Sitting in the midst of a group gathering, large gathering, and all of a sudden they didn't realize the people right beside them were protesters coming mm. against Israel, and they started jumping up, and they thought, oh, we got that one out. And then another one jumped up. Oh, my goodness, we got that one out. And next thing you know, there was like, they're all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And of course, why would not somebody be intimidated and fearful as a new believer whose mind is not yet renewed yet, and they haven't begun to, mm-hmm. they made Jesus the Lord of their life, but they haven't. You know, it's quite often, I really believe a lot of people are lost there. You know, only born to die is what we talk about. That you're born again in the kingdom of God, but we did not fight for the seed to bear, to get roots and to produce and, mm-hmm. and to defend them from the, who Satan, who wants to steal the word from them, who wants to put pressures on their life, the cares and the deceitfulness of, you know, perspective of finance and money and the thorns, the whole parable of the seed that Jesus talks about.
Mm-hmm.
And strategy for a productive life. Let's start talking more about strategy for yeah. a productive life and make it available on BFN TV, because you got to have a strategy. And in a stranger place, you know, you're not going to have anybody that sits down with you, but you need to be in a gathering of people who actually celebrates the very fact that yesterday you were smoking your Bible, but today you're reading it. That's somebody should be very excited about that.
It's huge.
I remember, you know what you're talking about. When I first came in, you know, it was one of my first meetings coming into a group of men, you know, who are gathering together to worship God. You know, the first person I met was John.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that.
And he walked up to me and
Sanguine John.
Walked up to me.
No, wait a minute. We gotta build this out right. You have to understand that he was a person that kind of a fear of crowds. You know,
who's that?
Well, not you. We're talking about Chris. We know that's not his name. So a fear of crowds and that phobia type mm-hmm. of what it's called, where you feel the center of attention when you're in a crowd or something, and you just don't touch people and you don't talk long to them and you definitely don't look them in the eye.
Right.
And he just got saved. And so he's going to just show up. That's what you're supposed to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just show up, because you don't already know much yet. they said show up. So I'm just going to show up.
Right.
And so come on, I'm going to set that up.
Right.
You know, and your bling is hanging, you're glowing.
right.
All this kind of stuff. Okay.
My hair is flowing in the wind, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I walked through the door and I wasn't in the room 2 seconds before this. You know, I see this little guy just comes up to me and No, for real. No, John walks up to me and just gives me this huge, huge hug. Just
what we have to understand now.
Just welcomes me.
Now, Chris is like 6 foot three.
6'1".
Really?
Yeah.
And John's like.
Not
6'1". So you can imagine this guy hugging his knee. Like, like, you know, and he's never been touched. Like, not only is like, is this really a hug? He's on my knee here. Like, yeah. No, he was taller than that. But that's like, you know, it's like.
It was strange.
Right.
Like, what is this man doing touching me?
What's his problem? Yeah, right.
We have never touched in our family. We have never done this. Exactly. What is going on?
We did. Not that kind of touch, anyway.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, that was very strange, you know. And so like you're saying, you know, new believers coming in, making them feel welcome, you know, loving on them, you know, and that's what John did. And but of course that was strange to me at the time.
Right.
But now it was through that, you know, continual, and that was a continual thing. Every time I saw him, he was like, you know, he was just right on me and just hugging me. And it took a long time to get
over
that.
Yeah.
It did.
It is the love of God just instantly revealed.
Yeah.
Things in your life when didn't you cut your chin on his belt?
Right.
He also had that big old bling Cadillac belt buckle thing.
That or the big swoosh Nike thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, he did have a big
swinging like a pendulum
was
side
that something?
To side as he walked in and hugged me.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, you
poked
yeah,
him in the eye.
When after you got done hugging him, you had like Cadillac across your head or the swoosh. It was a
swoosh embedded in my forehead.
Yeah, right. All for Jesus, brother.
That's right.
I'm a love on this guy no matter what, Nike swoosh imprint and all.
It was amazing, you know, how thin that thing was. You know, I was thinking like this, like man, with some weight to it, and you turned it sideways, you almost lost it.
You want to see through it.
It was a facade, and some people would call it a facade.
But it looked good.
I think it was bronze.
Yeah, and so, you know, think about it. So loving, you know, just experiencing the love. When you're seeing men go after God's cool.
Mm.
Because, you know, very seldom do you see a group of men. We've done that over the years. And it's just something special about authentic, you know, real, you know, gatherings of men that are, you know, loving God. And, yeah, it's pretty powerful, pretty powerful. And so, yeah, so we're so glad to have you. So I just want everybody to know that he does know Jesus now.
I love him.
He loves him, and he's a great father and husband, and
he hugs now too. Every time he sees
Is it amazing? He's like soft and cushy.
He's soft and cushy.
If you want compassion, if you want that compassion, that transferred man,
that gooey stuff,
you would go to Chris.
You go to Chris.
If you need something, if you need a technical thing done, you don't get them too confused.
It's my shame. Just go.
Right. No, that's not. There's moments. No, but it's just so cool. Glad to have you on the program. And you'll see a lot of things taking place in VFN TV and the VFN radio program in regard to what we're doing. And more things are going to become available now as Chris is a part of the more. He's always been a part of the team, but he's a more intricate part of the team now. And we're excited about that. We're excited about just bringing a whole new. We have so many things that are in us to unfold, but you can only make one fold at a time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, our goal and desire and what God has shown us is stadiums. You know, but we have to fill the virtual stadiums first. It takes a constant sowing of the gospel in the hearts of men to soften our hearts up, to get us to be open to the fact that, hey, I'm going to listen, you know, because so long I've been not hearing, or I've been seeing religion. And what, you know, what Chris was exposed to at a young age, he was exposed to religion. He was exposed to, you know, just religion. I'm not going to name what religion it was, but it was just like, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like, okay, we don't want that. They don't even have percussion here.
Yeah, they never even talked about Jesus.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Wow.
Who is this man?
And so we don't remember, you know. I want to encourage the believers that are there. When you see people born again, the moment they're born again, I mean, if you see somebody just has a brand new baby, you don't walk up to the baby and say, hey, how's Leviticus? You know, you bring Leviticus. You don't even bring that up. You just go goo goo ga ga, or you just say, I remember Jerry used to say, the big big dig dig dig
dig.
Yeah, dig dig dig. And you know, that, and you're cool with that.
Right.
You don't go, no, it's Leviticus. I mean, you know, you don't talk to a child that way.
Sure.
And in the Lord, you just celebrate the very fact that they're not smoking their Bible. You know, celebrate these accomplishments, because you're not getting more saved.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, you're just beginning to see the awesomeness of God, and you're falling more in love with Him who's in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just really cool. Just really, really cool. You know, we talked yesterday about the White Horse Prophecy. If you missed it, you need to listen to it. Rick Joyner was talking about it, and it kind of talks about, you know, here we are today,
mm-hmm.
you know, looking where, you know, people are running for president for the next 4 years, and one of them is a Mormon, and the White Horse Prophecy talks about that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he kind of gives us a perspective. But I love Rick Joyner's perspective of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that you can't really, people say, well, that person's not saved or this person's saved. You know, you only know after a long period of time, because the difference between weeds and wheat
right.
is that after they mature, because they look a lot alike,
mm-hmm.
but after they mature, they, the weed stays straight up, but the mm-hmm. wheat gets heavy, and it begins to bow down.
Mm-hmm.
It humbles itself. You know what I'm saying? And so
right.
you really don't. You can't tell the difference between the two. So you can't just sit here and say, "Oh, that person's saved or that person's not saved," because we all look kind of alike, you know. And but as you grow in God, how you know that you have a relationship with the Lord, as you become more aware of Him. You know, you're always going, you know, mm-hmm. woe is me. Oh, my goodness, you're so awesome. You know, mm-hmm. things just get in this great perspective. But it's a learning process of being discipled and growing in God.
Right.
And so, and that's one thing he talks about. I love that, you know, so you can't be just so quick. And we also talked about, you know, that we are all, there's only two categories, saved and unsaved. It doesn't matter whether you got a religious garb on, or you're in prostitution, or you're the John picking her up,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're all in the same category until you know Jesus. Once you know Jesus, then you're in the saved category,
right.
you know, and then we're supposed to grow up in God. And so there's a lot of different religions out there and all that, but God mm-hmm. loves us all, and He wants right. us all to be saved. And so you got to hear that. He talks about the White Horse Prophecy, but also he talks about that perspective, because God's mm-hmm. shown him a great revival happening to the people who aren't saved, who happen to be involved in a lot of different things, that don't underestimate what God can do. I mean, God
can do anything.
Yeah,
anything.
God can do anything, and
He doesn't need our permission to do it,
right?
or yeah. our understanding of what He's going to do. God's
yeah.
God.
Yeah, and available right now on the VFN Torch. You can get to it at VFNTV.com. Is a prophetic word from Rick Joyner.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Fullness of Time and the Valley of Decision. You've got to read this. You may look at it and think.
Mm-hmm.
You may look at it and think that this is a lot of words, and I know that mm-hmm. we're kind of an illiterate generation. So is there any way, can somebody read this to me? You know,
right.
Take your time to read it. A prophecy is this, if it's accurate. A prophecy is your future in advance. You know, so many people want to know, oh, well, I still have this job in a year. You know, will America make it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, will, you know, Israel be at war in a few days? And we're going to be talking about that today. But this is a word that I believe is an accurate word, because I've seen it walked out. And it was part of what you know, when the prophetic encounter that he had with and he wrote about it in The Final Quest. Was so important, because it began to really explain the things that we don't see that we're wrestling against, and what's mm-hmm. happening to the church, and how, you know, thousands of believers can be held captive by just two demons of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And after a while, it's just like, you know, you get really, it's like, come on, just die already. You know, or the fear is like, what are you afraid of?
Yeah.
Are you going to spend your whole life captive in fear?
and it's fear of loss, fear of humiliation, mm-hmm. you know, fear of not, you know, of, you know, trouble. I don't know. But it's like, you know, really, you know, this is all about faith. What did Jesus say when the disciples came to him and they were in the boat and there was a storm going on? Just that was just a weather storm going on. Mm-hmm. You know, today we have every kind of storm going on.
Yeah.
At the same time.
And these are ones walking with Jesus. And they went and they found him, you know, in the bottom of the boat. And obviously it wasn't a boat like Americans would think. Wow, he must have been on one of those cruise ships, you know, down there in the... He was like, no.
Right. No, right. I don't think so.
You know, when you see the Galilee, you're thinking, wow, guys. Well, y'all were scared. I was like, either way, you know, they said that the storm was so bad, they're thinking, we're going to drown. We're going to die. And so they mm-hmm. go to pray. No, they go down to find Jesus. And they say, don't you even care? Don't you even care that we're going to die? You know, our economy's going to crash and I'm going to lose my relationships. And you don't even care, Jesus. You don't even care. You know, and Jesus, you know, wakes up. What's going on, guys? What's on? Oh, my goodness. Economy straighten up. Weather straighten up. Mm-hmm. Storm. Peace. Be still. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they're going like, who is this that even the storms listen to? Mm-hmm. You know?
That's right.
You know, he didn't do like we would do. It's like, you're just now getting the revelation.
Yeah, right. Right.
Hello.
It's like, I thought you were a believer last year.
The eyeball coming back.
Yeah, right, know, right. Is my eye twitching right now?
Yeah, right.
None of those things gave you any indication.
I mean, he didn't do that. He just said, you of little faith. Mm-hmm. But they had faith, which is really important. You know, sometimes it can look like we don't have any, but if you look really close with your microscope, there's some situations that really you just, you know, like you're hanging on. And then, but he said, you have a little faith. He rebuked them. Mm-hmm. And so right now, when all this stuff is going on, understand it's nothing but a storm. And the greatest day of the church is yet to come. I mean, it's written, mm-hmm. the greatest days are yet to come. But with it, you know, obviously persecution. But we're not looking for ourselves. We're looking for the glory of God. We're looking for souls to be saved. We're looking for the only thing that we can carry with us in eternity is the people that we tell about him that accept him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we can spend eternity with those who we told him about.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Told them about him. And so understanding that is like, this is a great opportunity. You know, this is a really great opportunity. And he talks about in this word about the waves. And, you know, this one thing God has shown us over and over again is these waves, mm-hmm. these waves. And with a tsunami and with a wave and the things that come, you know, a great harvest, a garden comes and produces fruit only after the hard soil is tilled and broken up,
mm-hmm.
and things are planted in it.
Right.
And when people's hearts are hard, you know, it takes difficult circumstances. It takes things to go through rough places. And if we don't understand that a seed has to first die before it can bear fruit, that we can mess up our perspective and respond just like the disciples, and we could say, oh, don't you even care? And it's like, dude, it's not even about you. We're breaking, I'm breaking hard soil up in the hearts of men so you can tell them about me and plant the seed of hope and the kingdom in their hearts so they could find me. And right. If we don't understand that, you know, we're supposed to be stable and steadfast when things are shaking because we're waiting for the quake to be able to soften their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be running around screaming, this guy, oh my goodness, oh my, I'm gonna lose my stuff, and oh, what's going on? It's like, no. You know, we're prepared. God's been telling us about what to do. And the only reason we're preparing is not for self-preservation. It's so that we can be there for others.
Right.
Right.
You know, so we can remain faithful, steadfast. And it's amazing the things that God has shared. And what he talks about in this prophetic word, and you got to read it. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but about is this is a window of time that we had to prepare because the first wave came, but it pretty much skipped the West. It skipped Europe. It skipped America.
Mm.
the Americas, and this next wave is going to be like a tsunami. But the time between the waves was the time for us to prepare and to train. And I mean, if you're talking about prepare, I mean, it's like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's, we've been nonstop, day in, day out, you know, and there's others, I'm sure, in the world that are doing it. But he said this, which is pretty interesting in there. I mean, John, you probably want to talk about it more, but but he said that that time, many people wasted that time and did not prepare, which means it's going to come. The purpose of it is to be able to bring in a great harvest of men and women to the kingdom of God, but not being prepared is not good. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that you can prepare. You know, get with your pastor and to say, listen, I want to be prepared for the coming harvest. You know, and if you're not connected or related to a gathering of people who believes what I'm talking about, then you need to first tell them about it and see if they'll believe. You know, share with them the word that's on the torch right now, and share with them VFN Radio, and maybe I'd encourage them. But if they're going to say, nothing's happening, nothing, you know, you need to get prepared. You know, you need to get prepared. And I encourage you to do this. Go and watch the tsunami that took place in Japan. You know, watch the tsunami that took place, you know, that just, it looks like nothing's going to happen. It's just a typical day.
Right.
Like the eye of a hurricane. And then this big, huge wave, this gathering of a wave is out there because it has a shifting of the plates or whatever. And so it creates this void in the bottom of the ocean that all this water just goes down to this lowest spot, which means it pulls water from the shore. So it looks like things are the water is going away. And at that point, what he's talking about in this word is that it's going to look like the church is in its greatest retreat. It's going to look like the church is, you know, that it looks like that the church is, quote, as if it could, but it can't. You know, it's going to lose. He says, don't chase this tide, you know, and what we're talking to everybody about all the time is to stay steadfast, to stay stable, stay fruitful, you know, get a strategy for a productive life, begin to abide with God. And that's what he talks about over and over again, so that you won't follow all these things. We're not talking about panic. We're talking about preparation to be fruitful. And he said, don't chase the tide. Because it's going to be coming in. And what happens is it looks like the water's going away, but all of a sudden the biggest move of God is going to come like a tsunami, and it's just going to go everywhere. But when it goes everywhere, you have to understand, you know, anything that you're hanging on to, self, occupation, property, things, whatever it is that you think you have to have other than God, will be like an anchor to you. It'll control you. It's become a God to you. And you're not going to be able to be a part of the tsunami, the wave of God that's going on. You have to hold everything loosely. And then he talks about, you know, that he's going to be restoring the call of the sons of Issachar, the anointing of understanding the times. And that's one thing the Lord has really, you know, given me, is about understanding the seasons and the times. And it's almost like I'm able to prepare for it and prepare everybody for it, you know, while you look crazy. And then all of a sudden they go, hey, you know, this is a good idea. You know, it's like, yeah, you were beating me last week. But the timings of Issachar said that the Lord, it told me at one time, he says, you know, I'm going to give you that anointing. That's what he said that he's given to Rick. And he said, it's going to be everywhere though, across the body. And if you're abiding with God, and the sons of Issachar, they understood the times and the seasons. And so it's not going to be just a few people. Everybody's going to know this is the time.
This is that, right?
And this is what's next. And, you know, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That everybody that abides with God is going to hear his voice. And he's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. In that, he says, you know, talking about surfing, you know, John being an avid surfer, you know, but I'll just do my best, is that you have to get on your board, you know, you have to position yourself, You have to get to know the right place and the right time where the wave's coming. You have to be in that place at the right time, and you have to be moving in the direction of the wave.
Right.
Mm. And that was one of the original words that, you know, I was sharing as we were doing what God told us to do in the context of that. And imagine being on a surfboard and this large wave behind you, and you're on your belly and you're paddling with your arms in the water. Mm-hmm. And you got to be paddling, mm-hmm. and you have to be paddling in the right direction. Mm-hmm. If you're paddling sideways, you're just going to flip over.
Yeah, you're dead. Right.
If you're paddling too slow, it's going to be like a real, you know, shooting star moment for you. It'll like, mm-hmm. boom, well, that was something. Let's write a book. And then, mm-hmm. but if you're paddling in the right direction and you're listening to the seasons, the times, and you understand that this is coming and you position yourself and you are trained up, and that's what the season's about. And if you haven't been trained up, I encourage you to begin to look to VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University, and maybe that's mm-hmm. for you to be trained up. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole process to that, but you know, you have a limited amount of time. But to me, I think it's the fastest way to be trained up as you're abiding with God. I was listening to some testimonies. I actually was reading an article from Charisma Magazine about IHOP, International House of Prayer, and they talk about how the students show up in their classes there in IHOPU so ready because they spend their time soaking in God and the Word of God and in prayer, because they have 24-hour prayer there.
Right.
So when they come into the classrooms, they challenge the instructors. Mm. Well, with VFNU, it's about abiding with God and that you're hanging out with God. So when you're hearing revelation, it's revelation that you're getting this aha moment continually because you are already with God. So it's this rapid oxygen chamber of growth if you submit yourself to what God is doing and it's revealed to you what God wants for the season. And maybe that's for you to prepare you for what's coming on. I mean, you can check out and go to vfnu.org and maybe that can prepare you. And maybe you're even called to be a part of the VFN family, but not. You still can be trained up possibly for where God has you and what's going on. Mm-hmm. You can go to vfnu.org. But with that, you know, he had the final quest, the encounter with final quest, and then the call. Mm-hmm. And the call is amazing because in 1998 is when he signed the commitment for the publishing of the call. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's when a huge phase of what we were doing, we're reading this thing and thinking, man, this describes to a T. Mm-hmm. And he talks about three different armies, mm-hmm. you know, and the first army brought a lot of destruction and was infighting and all this kind of stuff going on, and they couldn't accomplish nothing. They did destruction going in, the destruction coming out. The second army, they would come into a bad town, for example, and they would do good things and it would look good. But when they left, they would walk all over and kill. They would destroy their own fruit. Mm-hmm. And then the last army would walk in. There was no infighting, no jealousy, no envy, although there was ranks and there's rightly related an army. That. But when they would walk into a bad city, it would get better. And they would, in this vision, you could see all these buildings, you know, businesses operating again and green grass, and it'd be great. And then they would leave and the town would stay good. Mm. And the Lord asked him, you know, in this vision, he said, what do you think I should do to this first army? And he's like, you know, smack them. And he goes, this is my church.
Wow.
This is my church. And, you know, and he loves us. God loves us. And so he realized, you know, oh my goodness, we have a long ways to go to prepare. But that's 1998. Mm-hmm. And so here we are. We've been intensely trying to hear God and to prepare and to be an army that of believers, you know, God's army, mm-hmm. you know, spiritual army, not a military type thing, and to go in to win the harvest and to mm-hmm. be able to deal with the powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness, which is Satan's army, mm-hmm. you know, second Ephesians 6:12. And so it looks like God has prepared us, and probably maybe some of you that are listening, if you're not prepared, you can, you know, join those that are prepared and become a part of the army. You know, we actually, our leaders, you know, in VFN, we talk about they're Gideon's army. Mm-hmm. That's a word that God had given us, and it's based off of that God can use a few selfless soldiers who follow the patterns of heaven, what God reveals, the battle plans and strategies to free an entire nation.
Right.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, mm-hmm. my goodness. And there's armies. I feel like there's flanks of armies all over the world and all over America just waiting for our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, to say, you know, charge, you know, and I can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel it. So when things are at their worst, realize that it's going to be really good for the kingdom of God and for the church. Not good in the context of what happened in the 80s and what happened in the 90s, where everybody's, you know, building their own houses and driving around in fancy cars. That's not, you don't measure good in the kingdom of God based off of that. And my God, don't mind you having things, but it's based off of souls being saved, that, you know, a great awakening, a third great awakening that changes the DNA of a culture.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's going to come. This is an important part of this. And you just need to read this word. It's going to encourage you. And it really bears witness with myself. It bears witness, with those that are in leadership around me. And, it's going to be coming on the edge of what looks like it's almost over.
Mm.
And listen, devil can't pull nothing over on God. So don't think, oh my goodness, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. It's going to be, and don't ever interpret what we're saying. No, God's more powerful than that.
Right.
But realize you got to make it through the storm and hold on to your faith and realize that, prepare yourself for to be a part of taking in the harvest. And what do? You go and you tell them about the kingdom of God. He said, go into all the world and preach the kingdom. Don't preach salvation. He didn't say go preach salvation. Hey, I got 20,000 people saved. Well, what's their name? Well, I don't know their name. And did you tell them about the kingdom? No, you're supposed to seek first the kingdom. You didn't even tell them about the kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he didn't say go preach salvation. He said the kingdom of God would be preached to all and the end would come. Right. He said, when you're talking to them, he says, tell them that the kingdom of God is near. Why is it near? Because if you're a believer, the kingdom of God is in you.
Mm-hmm.
And if they become a believer, the kingdom moves inside of them. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, that God's kingdom dwells inside of you? But it's like a seed.
Right.
And it needs to grow. And how does it grow? It grows through discipleship. Then he tells us, make disciples of everyone that believes, after baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. And it's the most exciting thing that we can be a part of. And that's what we want to do at VFN Radio, VFN TV. We want to be a part of help encouraging you to move into not the great suggestion, the great commission, and prepare yourself now. And you need to prepare yourself. You can't just say it's coming, I'll just jump out there when it happens. Because if you go back and watch a video of Japan, it just overtakes everything. And it washed an entire city away.
Mm.
And so we have to be ready for what's about to come on the face of the earth, understanding behind it and in it is going to be the greatest harvest men has ever seen on the face of the earth. Well, God bless. We are coming to the end of the first hour. For those that aren't joining us in the extra hour, which will be just in a few moments, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Don't forget, you can hear the extra hour on your mobile phones, iPads at VFNTV.com. Have a blessed day. And those joining us, we'll see you on the other side.